You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this, and I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Check out what we have breaking down the championship games of the weekend. 49ers at Eagles, Bengals at Chiefs. A big, huge weekend before Super Bowl 57, as we're down to four teams and two games. And we'll break those games down in depth for you starting on Thursday. We'll do it straight up there for you with the teams and what we like with those games from a fantasy betting perspective on Thursday. Then we'll dive into DFS and carry you through that on Friday with like we usually do on Lineup Friday. But for the next two shows, we're going to catch you up on some important news and notes around the league. So we'll tackle all 16 AFC teams today. We'll come back, look at all 16 NFC teams, including those in the playoffs, with anything you need to know from those teams as well. So we've got you covered here on Locked On Fantasy Football with the news, notes, and analysis you need all throughout the offseason. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available to you on all platforms. I'm also proud to tell you this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. All right, let's dive right in. We'll start at the top with the Baltimore Ravens. We'll go in alphabetical order, so we'll start with the Ravens, end at Tennessee and the Titans. And the Ravens do have a big story, and they have the lead story, really, going on right now in the AFC. Lamar Jackson, that contract situation is a little dicey. They want to bring him back, but can they agree on the terms of the contract in terms of guaranteed money and how much he's going to get in terms of years? So all kinds of things here. The terms are definitely a big sticking point here and the value of that contract overall. So stay tuned for that. The Ravens want him back. There's a lot of lip service with that from Coach John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, the general manager. But now they just have to get the deal done because there are some teams that are going to jump on the potential of Jackson becoming a free agent, including the Jets. The Falcons, on a lesser level, have also been mentioned. But Lamar will definitely get a lot of outside interest there if the Ravens and his party, when I say that, it's Jackson because he represents himself, if they continue to be at a standstill here. So somebody to watch for sure with Lamar Jackson. And another interesting background thing that's going on is the fact that they fired their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. So Roman was hired a lot to help Lamar Jackson because he was the guy with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, helped Colin Kaepernick, another running quarterback, and have success in that type of offense. So we also saw Roman have a little bit of success working with Rex Ryan in Buffalo a little bit with the ability to kind of just get that offense going with Tyrod Taylor. So we'll see what happens here with the replacement of Greg Roman. They're tapping into the Browns, looking at Chad O'Shea. You might remember him. He was briefly a Dolphins offensive coordinator coming from the Patriots staff. So they're looking at Kevin Stefanski's staff. They're also looking at options from the Seahawks with the Shane Waldron staff and the Rams. We know they lost Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator, but it's all Sean McVay there. So, and the Rams and Seahawks have that tie. So two different styles of offenses, but when you look at the Browns and Rams and Seahawks, what's the common thread there? They're all running-based offenses, where running sets up the big plays downfield. And I think that's what they want. More big plays downfield. They want the traditional running game to remain effective. We've seen that with the Browns with Nick Chubb and Seahawks with Kenneth Walker and then Cam Akers down the stretch for the Rams. So that's an indication, again, they want to help Jackson as much as possible. I think Rashad Bateman coming back healthy, that's expected there next year. That's going to be a huge help. Mark Andrews still locked in as his top receiver. Now, the other thing they could do is look at another receiver here. They did miss Marquise Hollywood Brown, not having his presence to stretch the field, especially when Devin Duvernay also went down working out of the slot, and they didn't have Bateman. So I think you'll see a little bit more explosive approach here with the Ravens offense and maybe trying to get Jackson to stay and open things up. But the Hollywood Brown trade there, it was a good trade because they got a first rounder for receiver. I don't think that was worth a first rounder, but now they need to replace him and they need to appease Jackson because Jackson was a big proponent of having Brown in the offense. All right, let's move to the Bills as the Ravens have quarterback instability and uncertainty. The Bills do not. Josh Allen is locked in with his big contract. His big salary cap hit will hit next year with $40 million. So the one thing we learned is Josh Allen just admitted that it took him a while to feel right with that right elbow injury. So did this affect his accuracy and the way he played the past couple weeks in the playoffs? You have to wonder that for sure, because it wasn't very Josh Allen-like, especially with a strong playoff track record throwing the ball downfield. So a little bit of concern there. We'll see what happens with the elbow. I think getting the long offseason rest now is going to help. It's also interesting that Ken Dorsey, I thought he had an up-and-down year replacing Brian Daboll. Daboll definitely was better at calling plays and getting what he wanted out of the Bills' offense before he moved on to the Giants. Dorsey was okay. He went up and down, but he's getting some interest from the Panthers. Dorsey did work for Carolina, so we know Buffalo kind of has that Carolina connection with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. So the Panthers are tapping to Dorsey. They still don't have a head coach here, so that's interesting. So we'll see if the Bills have to replace another offensive coordinator in the offseason. Now, Devin Singletary didn't look all that great in the playoffs, so we'll see if they can think about replacing him. They do have James Cook maybe in line for a bigger role, maybe pair him with more of a traditional power back. We talked about the potential of maybe going after Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs, Robinson from Texas, Gibbs from Alabama in the late first round. I don't know if they'll go that high on running back, but there's a good chance they'll move on from Singletary again. He was okay, but nothing special. They already have Nyheim Hines in the return game to catch passes, and Cook has some explosiveness. So maybe a shift into more pop and juice in that power running game for the Bills. The Bengals are still alive in the playoffs. They took care of the Bills pretty easily there. We know in the divisional playoffs, 27-10. A big part of that was Samaje Perine. Now, the question is, will they bring back Perine in free agency? They don't have a lot of questions. One more year, you'd think, before they have to break the bank and pay Joe Burrow his post-rookie contract. So they're going to go after it again next year. But Perine has been a very valuable part of the offense, playing off Mixon, catching passes, third down situations. He's a tough guy to bring down. He's a unique back because he's big and he's hard to tackle sometimes between the tackles, but he can also catch passes very deftly. So I would expect Perine is going to remain in the mix for 2023, but looking right ahead to 2023, I think he could be a big factor against the Chiefs, who struggle covering running backs out of the backfield. Let's go to Cleveland from Cincinnati. Cleveland is making big change with their defense. They said goodbye to Joe Woods, a defensive coordinator, so they've hired Jim Schwartz. This should be great for Myles Garrett at defensive end. We've seen Schwartz's influence on defenses before, Detroit, and we saw it as well with Philadelphia. Just the front four really benefits from Schwartz's influence. We'll see if this appeases Jadeveon Clowney on the other side and really get more out of these ends here for Cleveland. So Cleveland's pass rush a little disappointing. The run defense a little disappointing. I think Schwartz can clean that up a little bit and make the Browns back to being an effective playmaking unit, therefore more relevant in fantasy football. D'Ernest Johnson hasn't heard much from the Browns on whether they'll keep him. This is interesting because they might be in a market for a new complement to Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Limited touches there. Will they opt to move on from Hunt and just keep Johnson behind Chubb as the main guy and then maybe draft or add a running back? We'll have to see how that plays out. But D'Ernest Johnson looks like he may be moving on here. They'll have to make a decision on Hunt as well behind Chubb after they've invested well in Chubb going forward. And the final team we'll get into in this first segment from the AFC as we go straight down the line, alphabetical order by city name. We go from Cleveland to Denver and the Broncos. The Broncos looking for their head coach. Sean Payton is in the mix there. We know maybe potentially helping Russell Wilson. They've also looked at the former Stanford coach, David Shaw. We thought he might be a good fit there because of his pro-style type of scheming here. And we know the success he had at his peak with Andrew Luck and others at Stanford. So keep that in mind. You also have Raheem Morris. They could go defensive-minded. Raheem Morris had a pretty good year as the Rams assistant there, defensive coordinator. He dealt with a lot of injuries there, so battle through that. But Morris has the head coaching experience from his time with the Buccaneers as a younger person. And you look at Jim Caldwell, he can clean up offenses, we know, going back to his days with Indianapolis, Detroit as well. So we'll see if they go there to kind of stabilize things for Russell Wilson. They're also looking at DeMeco Ryans. That would be a good extension for their defense here to keep that as a strength. And Peyton's still in the mix. We'll see if they go there. So a lot of interesting directions the Broncos are thinking about in trying to replace Nathaniel Hackett here in 2023 as head coach. And also their coordinator and offensive scheme is going to be very interesting here going forward with Wilson. They might also tap into the Rams to get somebody as an extension of McVay to be familiar the way that Waldron was in Seattle. All right, we will get into the rest of the AFC teams. We'll tackle six more in our next segment, close with the final five all the way through the Titans. A lot of big stuff to talk about. Changes throughout here are these coaching staffs and personnel decisions yet to come. That's what we're covering here with our AFC news and notes. Don't forget, we'll do this tomorrow with the NFC. We told you at the top that we're excited that our new betting sponsor here at Locked On Fantasy Football is FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. They still have three games to go, the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. We're really excited that they're our betting partner, FanDuel, for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America. That's right. FanDuel is right on board with us here for 2023. We're excited, and you should be too, because it's a great way to get into the action. New customers, you can join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. That's all you need to do, place a $5 bet at FanDuel. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Those all come into play nicely. We can explore some of those for you there on Friday's show as well, as we do Lineup Friday. And we also look at FanDuel cash games and DFS. Well, now we can look at FanDuel betting, things that you should be interested in as well. Plus, you can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. It's a lot of fun, and we'll get into those bets later in the week here for the 49ers, Eagles, and the Bengals, Chiefs. It's all on an app at FanDuel that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 of betting to get $150 in free bets, win or lose. That's at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's continue the show looking at the key news and notes you need to know in the early offseason from all 16 AFC teams. We've got five down, 11 to go. Next up, we go to Houston. Houston looking for a new coach there. The Texans have looked at Sean Payton. They've looked at the Eagles defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. They're also looked defensive-minded with DeMeco Ryans from the 49ers there. So obviously they're on hold here with those teams playing in the playoffs still. And Ejiro Evero had a pretty good year as the Broncos defensive coordinator there. So taking over for their scheme with Vic Fangio. So we'll see. Evero is getting a lot of attention as the Broncos are changing things up with their head coaching staff. We'll see if they keep Evero. But defensive mind of the Texans are thinking that's interesting because they just had Lovie Smith. I thought they might go back to offense. They're also looking at Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator of the Giants, who worked with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback's coach in Kansas City. Did a good job with Daniel Jones this year. Maybe thinking about getting a new franchise quarterback. So a lot of things on the table for the Texans. They're also looking at maybe Tim Kelly there, maybe as someone outside that was with the organization that they did like at one point. They moved on from him. So a lot of things to consider with Houston there. But I don't know if that's as exciting as other situations of the league, given Davis Mills is not going to be the starting quarterback probably going forward for that team. But more turmoil, more turnover here as David Culley one and done, Lovie Smith one and done. We'll see what happens. It's not the most appealing job there to stick around if you're a hot assistant looking for a gig. Let's go to Indianapolis, staying in the AFC South. The Colts are also looking for a new coach. We know they moved on from Frank Reich. They're not probably returning Jeff Saturday here from the interim. label. So they're looking at Shane Steichen. He is the Eagles offensive coordinator, Evero, as well as on their list. I thought Ray/Bubba Ventrone would maybe be the replacement. They went to Saturday instead to fill in for Reich. So they're looking at Ventrone in-house. Morris getting some attention as well from the Rams. And Eric Bieniemy, it kind of surprised me that while the playoffs were going on, Bieniemy has kind of been left out of the mix in a lot of these key openings that they've already looked at Bieniemy as the head coach. So a lot of things the Colts are examining here as they go forward. But offense, defense, coaching overall, they're looking for big changes with Indianapolis under the GM, Chris Ballard. So anything could happen there, but definitely the Colts are putting their hands a lot of fires, hoping that one will burn and feel like the right hire for them under Jim Irsay and Ballard. All right, let's stay in the South. We go from Houston, Indianapolis to Jacksonville. The Jaguars don't have a lot of question marks. They're pretty solid here with Doug Peterson and Press Taylor as their offensive brain trust. Defensively, they were very good as well with Mike Caldwell coming over for the Buccaneers. They're just feeling it here. Trent Baalke had a very good year as the executive as well. So, again, their only key issue is Evan Ingram. He would like to be back here, number 17. They've kind of banged the table a little bit for him, the other offensive teammates. So that's only the real question mark. If they move on from Ingram, you could potentially look at them going after a tight end early in the draft. Right now, that top target with me, Michael Mayer, Notre Dame. That would make this offense pretty nasty to add him, especially with Calvin Ridley there. So we'll see what they do with Ingram, knowing that Ridley's contract is coming on the books here. They'll probably move on from Marvin Jones, as we mentioned, but Ingram should be back. Very productive season for them at tight end. The Chiefs are still in the playoffs, so we can just focus on what's going on with them now. Mahomes looks like he's going to play. Pat Mahomes with the ankle injury. It was a high ankle sprain. It was a little bit troublesome when he came out and Chad Henne had to fill in. Henne led the touchdown drive, but Mahomes came back. He was definitely hobbled when he returned. So this high ankle sprain, not a very thing to recover from quickly, but he's going to have heavy tape on it. But I would expect maybe a different style of pass game where they don't put Mahomes in harm's way. The Bengals have a pretty good pass rush. They don't want to get him hurt here with his mobility. So I think he'll be very careful. I still think he can move around in key spots, but again, that's not their ideal game plan here against the Bengals. All right, we go from there to another team in the AFC West, staying there, the Raiders from Las Vegas. We know Derek Carr is going to be on the move. They're just looking for the right spot. I mean, that's why they sat him for the last 2 weeks. They're going to trade him. The Jets look like an option as well as the Colts making some moves for quarterback. I feel like the way that the owner for the Jets, Woody Johnson, said about sparing no expense to get a veteran quarterback, Derek Carr does have a pretty lofty contract. The Raiders can get out of it pretty easily if they can deal him or release him. Definitely going to look to trade him. So I would expect Carr to be on the Jets' radar pretty heavily now, especially now they're not tied to Mike LaFleur and the 49ers-style offense anymore. And Josh Jacobs, they want to bring back him as well. He had a very productive year, we know, rushing and receiving for the Raiders. He might be a key part of what they do going forward, so we'll see what happens. But Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler might also see that Jacobs is not maybe worth retaining high-level running back contract value, so we'll see how that plays out here in the offseason if they commit to Jacobs or they see what else might be out there in the veteran and rookie market. Last team we'll cover in this segment, the Los Angeles Chargers. So hit three from the South, three from the West. Chargers did not fire Brandon Staley, so the scapegoat was Joe Lombardi. After two seasons, he was let go as the offensive coordinator, so they're also trying to tap into the Rams. Who isn't right now? McVay has propped these guys up. It's a copycat league. We've seen it happen very well with Zach Taylor and Kevin O'Connell. So everyone, again, wants a piece of the Rams, maybe more so on the assistant level this year because I don't think there's anyone of experience other than Morris where you would look at for head coaching jobs. So offensive-minded, the Chargers are considering that offense. Maybe a little bit of the Seahawks, so that translation there to help Justin Herbert. Remember, Justin Herbert's had a lot of offensive coordinators early in his career. He had that combination of Anthony Lynn and Shane Steichen early, and then he transitioned to Lombardi. So they just need to get some stability and feel the offense. And interesting, they're also thinking about the Titans style of offense. Now, the Titans changing things up, but could be more an indication they go 12 personnel to help one, Justin Herbert, and really use Austin Eckler more and help him in the power running game with Joshua Kelly and others. So a lot of things to watch out for with the Chargers changing their offense yet again. So that's going to be three offenses in four seasons for Justin Herbert. To his credit, he's handled it pretty well. This year was a little bit rough with all the offensive injuries, so with the blocking and the receivers being in and out, not the same continuity here. So that's what they need, better health and support around Justin Herbert to live up to their offensive potential in 2023 and beyond. So there you have it. There's a look at more teams with their latest AFC news and notes. We will get into five more, including three from the AFC East, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, and close looking at what's going on with the Steelers and Titans. Thanks again for making Lockdown Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Subscribe to the Lockdown NFL Podcast and get daily conversation on the biggest NFL stories. That would be the conference championship games and the big coaching searches here, plus in-depth analysis of the biggest games of the NFL key prediction. That happens every Friday and Monday. That was yesterday. Local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes. Lockdown NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. That's Locked On NFL. You'll find it where you find this show as well. All right, it's time to close the show here, looking at what we have with the Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Steelers, and Titans. Dolphins fired their defensive coordinator, Josh Boyer. They probably regret moving on from Brian Flores. They had to do it in some way, but the defense really could have used Flores as an influence. Of course, they pivoted offensively to Mike McDaniel, so now they're in a little bit of a defensive mess. They're looking at their linebackers coach, Anthony Campanile, potentially replace Boyer. He did a good job with those second-level defenders here. They're also looking at Sean Desai. He was most recently the Bears' defensive coordinator in that key role just last year, but then he moved on to the Seahawks there. So an associate coach behind Pete Carroll, so learned a little bit more. And he's also been built from Vic Fangio and that mentality. So Desai is a rising star because of his 3-4 sentiments here. So something to watch out for with the Dolphins changing their defense. But Mike McDaniel, that offense intact. We'll see what they do with Tua Tagovailoa. But for now, they're committed with Tagovailoa as their starting quarterback for 2023. Patriots, big change that we have to talk about there. A lot of these teams are looking for offensive coordinators. The Patriots kind of operated without one, between Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Well, now they have one that's also their new one and old one. It's a Bill O'Brien. He comes over from the University of Alabama, so that would suggest they want to connect better with Mac Jones and have an established relationship there. We know that he was also the Patriots offensive coordinator at one point. He ran those two tight end sets involving Rob Gronkowski that were so successful and kind of revolutionized the NFL with what we saw there. So I think you could see more 12 personnel. That makes a lot of sense when you have Hunter Henry and Jonu Smith and a lot of wide receiver question marks here for the Patriots. Jacoby Myers heading into free agency. So Bill O'Brien, again, probably going to help them get more out of Ramondre Stevenson, the tight ends, and really help settle Mac Jones here. I think it's a pretty good hire. It's not juicy, and Bill O'Brien can rub people the wrong way sometimes, but he's not the head coach here. He's still under Bill Belichick. He has a good working relationship with him. So Bill O'Brien, if he's trusted by Belichick and Saban, you know that's going to help Mac Jones quite a bit here. So like the system, at least having a system in place and someone with good offensive experience versus just throwing in Patricia and Judge as assistants there. So I like the commitment there. That should help Mac Jones, Ramondre Stevenson, the tight ends, and this entire offense. Let's look to the Jets here, and they parted ways with Michael Floor, their offensive coordinator. He didn't get along with a lot of their key personnel, including Elijah Moore. They had a shouting match, so they didn't like the dysfunction there, even though they like the 49ers style of offense. So Robert Saleh had to make that move there, so quick change there. Saleh stays on like Brandon Staley, but now they're looking at Frank Reich. They're looking at Kevin Petullo from the Eagles. He's an assistant under Steichen and Nick Sirianni that they're looking at for an offensive coordinator job. Nathaniel Hackett has been in the mix there to go back into capacity he had with the Packers before his less than one-season stint with the Broncos as a head coach. Speaking of the Broncos, they're also looking at Clint Kubiak. So a little bit of that zone blocking style connection there to Gary Kubiak and that style of offense as potential offensive coordinator. And then they've looked at two Bradys. Marcus Brady of the Colts, he had a disappointing end there, fired as part of that coaching staff. So We'll see what happens with Marcus Brady. I thought he had some good plans here, but some of the personnel issues that the Colts had didn't really help, especially Jonathan Taylor being out. And then they're also looking at Joe Brady. Joe Brady was a hot name. Remember, he was the co-offensive coordinator at LSU for Joe Burrow. They did big things there. Then he went over to the Panthers. We had expectations there. Then abruptly got fired by Matt Rhule, and they went a different direction with Ben McAdoo. So a lot of things to look at there with Joe Brady, but he has been with the Bills, so the Jets trying to tap into that. They saw what the crosstown Giants did by going Brian Daboll, so trying to get that influence here on whoever their starting quarterback can be. So very interesting, a mix of coordinators. So when they don't know who's going to be the quarterback to start with, and I don't think it's going to be Zach Wilson or Mike White, who's going into free agency. The Steelers stuck with Matt Canada as their offense coordinator, so you can't stop blaming Canada for their woes. This is an interesting decision. I thought of all the teams they would move on. Very frustrating for Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson and George Pickens not scheming these guys open better. So we'll see. I think they can maybe learn from having Pickett in for the whole season versus forcing things with Mr. Trubisky. So something to watch with Matt Canada. Hopefully he'll get better, and hopefully we can tap in more to the Steelers' talented offensive skill players and the passing game in 2023. Titans had a big change at offensive coordinator. So Todd Downing, who took over there for Arthur Smith, he's out there. So they're looking at Tim Kelly as well, who had a pretty good year, I thought, for the Texans last year. And again, available out there as one of the better offensive minds. The Titans want to stick maybe to that style of rushing attack thing. Kelly would be in higher there within the organization. So a lot of things to watch out for with the Titans, but definitely it is a interesting situation. The Titans have some big changes around Mike Vrabel, including their new general manager. I like this hire. He was with the 49ers, Rand Carthon. So he replaces John Robinson. So we'll see what the Titans want to do, but I think they want to open up this offense, a little bit more diversification here. Whoever the quarterback, whether it's Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis, they just can't be a Derrick Henry pound and run team. They can build on Traylon Burks, maybe get him some wide receiver and tight end help in the passing game as well. So that's what I would look at from the Titans here in their offensive coordinator search and their change here for whoever's a quarterback in 2023. All right, there you have it. There's a look at the latest AFC news and notes from all 16 teams there for you. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. For your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast, bringing you the local insights you love to the national spotlight with daily conversation of the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here with our look at the NFC news and notes you need to know in the early part of the NFL offseason.